discuss a little bit today, before we go head into some of the text-based stuff, is what is this thing? What's the source of this LL business? What is it? What does it mean to us? What's it all about? So the Divrei Chaim gives a very beautiful mashal, kind of as a backdrop. It says there was a bird, and this bird had a really horrible skin disease. And the bird prided itself in its beauty. It was a beautiful bird, and this disease made its body look really grotesque. And the Ribbono Shel Olam took pity on the bird and had it grow some magnificent feathers. And these magnificent feathers not only concealed the the skin that was so distorted, but it actually made the bird much more beautiful than it was beforehand. So the Divrei Chaim says that when a Jew, when Rosh Chodesh Elul comes, that there is this is what we're going to focus on today, is this Eis Ratzon that we're talking about. Eis Ratzon means a time of Ratzon from above, a time, the word Ratzon is a superlogical desire. Ratzon, and Eis Ratzon means a time of love, a time that's not confined to a logical, as love is. It's not reasonable. It's not logical. It's a time that Ribbono Shel Olam reaches out to us with love. And in turn, if we, as we say in the modern vernacular, if we're feeling the love, then we respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in kind. So what he's saying here is that Chodesh Elul allows us, the Ribbono Shel Olam gifts us, not just that we can heal the mess that we've made, but that Be'etzem, it turns out even to be, in essence, we have feathers that the Ribbono Shel Olam gifts us that are able to transform the ugliness into beauty. Now, so let's talk about some practicalities. We know that before the Bria, Chazal tell us that Hashem created Tshuva Kadma L'Olam. Tshuva preceded creation. Creation takes place on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, or Chaf Hei Elul. You could say that it begins on the 25th of Elul, but man was created on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, otherwise known to us as Rosh Hashanah. Tshuva was created before creation. It says that's what the words of Chazal are. And therefore we understand that in the month of Elul, when the world comes back to its original place, that Tshuva precedes creation in our life as well, so that we have an opportunity to repent before creation comes, meaning before Rosh Hashanah. Before Rosh Hashanah hits us, then it's a little bit late in the game. So the Chayza of Lublin puts us into the pasuk. It says there by the Egel, right? That would perhaps the worst wart on the memory of Klal Yisrael was the sin of the golden calf. When it comes after the sin of the golden calf, Hashem says, "Ubiyoyim pakti pakadati, pakadati aleim chatosim." Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Okay, we always read this as a terrible negative, meaning the day I take out my wrath about anything else, I'm going to clobber them for this as well. So, you know, you guys step out of line, I'm going to hit you once for messing up the, drawing on the wall. But you're also going to get it for the time that you spilled the milk all over the floor, right?" The word pakti also means echisoran, v'lenifgad mimenuish. The pasuk says that they counted the people after the war, and there was not a single person missing. So the word pakti also means from a language of missing. Says the Chayza, ubiyayim pakti, meaning that on this, during this season, we'll see that historically this was the time. The Egel took place on the 17th of Tammuz. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to plead on our behalf on Rosh Chodesh Elul. This is really the historic precedent for Rosh Chodesh Elul. Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and what day did he come down? Came down on Yom Kippur when Hashem said Tzalachti Kedvarecha. So that's really the source, the historical source, if you want to take the next step. The first step is that Hashem created Tshuva before the creation. He says, when I, each time that a Jew does Tshuva, especially during this season, I will continue to remove, to take away the effects of that original sin. But it's all dependent upon the Tshuva of Klal Yisrael. Now, where is the source of this shofar blowing business? So the earliest source that this is found is a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that was written by the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, who quotes that Rabbi Shuman Karcha says that Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days on the mountain. After the 40 days, this is the first 40 days, he took the Luchas, he came down on the 17th of Tammuz. Okay? And as we know, he broke the Luchas on the 17th of Tammuz. He wiped out, they ground up the Luchas, they drank the water, they killed the sinners of those who actively participated. He spent 40 days, that's another fascinating thing, he spent the first 40 days with the Jews in the camp.
I didn't say that.
He didn't disappear right away.
Oh, I thought he went right back.
Right? He first took care of he took care of business with the people, and then on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Hashem said to him, "Ale Eli Hahara, come back up," and they were no longer going to take any chances of making mistakes with the days, so they blew the shofar that day to say, "Today is day one. Now start counting," because last time they messed up with the counting of the days, and that's how they ended up with the egel. So the language of Chazal of this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nis'ale Ba'isa Shofar. Heyest, Hashem was elevated with that shofar. Shenemar, as it says in Tehillim, this is the pasuk we say before Tkiyah Shofar. Ala Alikim Bisrua. That's the pasuk the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer quotes, that Alikim went up with the sounding of the shofar. Where's he going? So Chazal, and this is the tour, quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, that therefore the Chachamim established that we should start playing shofar on Rosh Chodesh El. Okay? So what was the aliyah that took place?
So let's didn't first. Abraham blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh El?
Huh?
Didn't Avram blow shofar in Rosh Chodesh Elul, or was it or something that people did, and it's only this was a tikkun?
Avram did?
Avram, I don't know. Of course he did. I mean, didn't he do Avram? But I mean, it was this, so this wasn't done before until
this mistake.
Until
now, the point is.
One second.
Of course he blew the shofar. Well, he wore it when he wore his drive in the back of the shofar. He blew the shofar. Now, that Stricken is making fun.
No. So the question is, was it done before? But this was like this Misakin, but it's like we knew like Avram did all three tefillahs as
right.
Well.
If Avram Avinu did it, he did it because of this.
Because he knew this was going
to. No.
Just check.
Simplest level, let's entry level okay. Understanding is.
I'm checking, that's me.
Fix what you broke. Last time you blew it, no puns intended, by not letting the people know the exact counting of the days. Now we're not going to make that mistake again, okay? So that's the simplest level is, whatever the errors were the first time we goofed, we ain't going to make that mistake again. We're going to take care of things to make sure that we do things right, okay? That's, as we say in Yiddish, medavzan practical, okay? The next level, however, says the Reb Tzadik HaKohen and Pri Tzadik, that what does it mean, Allah Elikim Bisrua? Hashem goes up. Where is he going? So we know that there are two forms of conduct that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses in his interaction with the world. One of them is the Midas Elikim, which is the attribute of harsh judgment, of justice, and so on. That's the Midah of Elikim. Then there is the attribute called mercy, Hashem Avaya. When Hashem sees that we are taking responsibility for our actions rather than turning and blaming others, so the attribute of Elikim is Nisala. If the language of Chazal in many places is Yesh Din Lamata, Ein Din Lamaila. If there is Din down here, if we're taking care of business, if we're taking responsibility down here on earth, then Hashem doesn't have to be the judge because we're judging ourselves. So when Hashem saw that Klal Yisrael took matters into their own hands and they blew the shofar to prevent the mistake from happening, so the Midas Hadin, the harsh judgment of the attribute of justice, was tempered, if you will. The result of it is, as so many of the Sefer Kodesh tell us, that these are not one-time deals. This wasn't just that one year that now they took care of it, but each and every year when Rosh Chodesh El comes, there is this opportunity for us to take responsibility for our lives. Just like then they took responsibility and they recognized it was our mistake and we are going to rectify it, that hashpa is available to us every year. So when we look at this, that same flow of energy, that same flow of energy is available to us. Which is a very interesting thing, because what we're saying is that a forgiving parent allows a child the opportunity to set the record straight. And just like then, Hashem was Nisratze, he allowed us to come back by our taking responsibility. So there is now an energy that goes out on Rosh Chodesh El that says, come back, I'm available to you. Yesterday we discussed the mashal of the Balatanya of Melech Masada, that Hashem goes out, and he says there that Hashem goes out of his palace to be available to the masses so that we can create a relationship with him. And counterintuitively, it is a closer, more intimate, more friendly relationship than is in the month of Tishrei. The month of Tishrei is a month of awe and where the king is back on his throne in the palace. Here, the king makes himself available to us at our level. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us about the 13 attributes of mercy. What's up with these 13 words, these 13 attributes? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us on the Pasuk, Ani avir kol tuvi al panach, Hashem says, I will allow my goodness to pass by you. And we read, Vayav Hashem al panav ikra, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachem chana, the 13 attributes that we say in Yom Kippur and each day in Slichas, those 13 attributes. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, says, this comes to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself like a shliach tzibur, like a chazan, and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu the order of tefillah, and he said as follows. Listen, very important, the words. Kol zman sheYisrael chaytin, as long as Klal Yisrael sin, yasu lefanai kiseder azah, they should do before me like this order. This order, meaning Hashem, Hashem, kel rachem chan, nerach hapam, rav chesem emes, and I will forgive them. Says of Yehuda, bris Krusa, there is a covenant that Hashem made to these 13 Midas that they will never be returned empty-handed. They will never be returned empty-handed. Now, it doesn't say Yoimru Lefanav Kesedra Zeh, let them say these words. It says Yasu Lefanai, they should do these words. Meaning, we're not dealing just with utterance of hollow words. We're talking about acting compassionately, emulating the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence, this month becomes a month not only of prayer, but a month of chesed, a month of kindness in judgment, and so on. Adds the Baal Tanya, a very clever addition. And Rev Steinsaltz has a book based on this concept. And that is the pasuk in the Song of Songs in Shir Hashirim says, "Ani v'doidi v'doidi li." I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me. That's where most people stop. But the pasuk continues, "Haroya b'sheshanim, he who pastures among the roses." Okay. A rose, say Chazal, the Zohar says, just like a rose has 13 petals, so too Knesset Yisrael has 13 paths of mercy through which they can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that envelop them from every angle. So there's this concept of the 13 petals. Reb Motel writes in Purim. I'm sure it's in Purim. Yeah, he says it on the fact that Esther Hamalka is called Shoshana, right? So he writes there that everybody knows that once upon a time, we'll have to tell this to our children as a legend, roses used to have a fragrance. Remember as a child that roses has a fragrance? They no longer have a fragrance. They've been so GMO'd. They also used to have thorns. Medrash says, the more thorny the bush, the more fragrant the rose. And when it comes to tshuva, based upon what we're learning here, we know that tshuva me'ahava creates a positive out of a negative. If one does tshuva, returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. Obvious question is, Rafal, how can anybody claim to have the insane supposition that they're going to be on the level of doing tshuva out of love? Writes the Yetiv Lev, that when a tzibur, when a community does tshuva together, even when we do tshuva out of fear, it has the tzibur's tshuva out of fear has the same effect of tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love.
So when how did you get there again?
The Yetiv Lev.
How did you get to that?
So here's how the question that I was addressing was, what we're trying to do is turn a negative into a positive, right? The more thorns there are, thorns are the stuff that we did to create the thorn bush, the more fragrant the rose, right? The more damage we've done, potentially the more good we can transform it into at this point. How do we do that? By tshuva, right? So you're growing a rose bush. You can imagine you'd sit there with your hatchet and try cutting it down, but because before you ever experience a rose, for anybody who's ever grown a rose bush, the thorns come long before the roses, right? But if you cultivate the plant correctly and you grow your roses, you will see that they will develop into beautiful roses. That is dependent upon tshuva, specifically tshuva me'ahava, because tshuva from fear just wipes things out. It's tshuva out of love that turns it into a positive. If you join a tzibur, which is the only way that a person is allowed to say the 13 attributes of mercy, is in a tzibur, at that point we have the ability to transform the negatives into positives and the thorns become...
To say the 13 attributes you said with the tzibur, that's saying that you have a minyan, is that correct?
That's what we're saying. But it really means people getting together. And
you have to have a minyan.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say people getting together, you got
Right. We're not dealing with right.
So this is a big chance to do something like together, like start saying the tefillah for the Medina or something. As a tzibur.
Soldiers. Our government officials, Democratic Party. Yes.
A lot of prayers.
I never understood why we don't say those things.
I think I offered us. I put the same offer. It's on tape. $1,000. We start saying, you know, I'll give her $1,000 at the circus or something.
What?
$1,000 to say the prayer for the Medina.
Are you talking about this Medina, the United States of America?
No, the other one. Maybe this one too. That'd be something else.
Because we certainly need a lot of prayers. It looks like they're doing better over there than we're doing here. All right.
It's on tape.
The country, the prayer for the state of Israel.
I thought you wrote that whole thing.
No, I couldn't remember where I got it from. The rabbi asked me.
All right.
To,
I thought you just said this Ruach HaKodesh. Well, you do have Ruach.
Rabbi Leomelech of Lezhensk, as brought by his disciple, the Apterov. This is for you, Shmuel. Says that Elul. We'll be going through each day several different allusions in the name of the month. Is Aleph Lul. What's a lul?
It's a chicken coop.
That's correct. So he says, Rabbi Leomelech, that the Aleph, the master of the world, hovers over his lul, over his coop, referring to Klal Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam hovers right above us. He's there protecting us.
We're like a chicken.
Pretty much. You ever saw what they'll smell like?
Yeah. It's not a good thing.
Go over to Robin's house. Yeah. You could get. I went to do hashgacha at an egg farm.
Oh my!
For the OU. Commercial. I don't have a commercial.
Wait. So this, I was blown away because what I had heard about these places is that they're cruel and that they're inhumane and dirty, and the way this place was created is they had, there's a million chickens in this building, but beneath the chickens there was a moving belt with brushes at the end that washed it. You walked into the place, there was no smell whatsoever. So they were, you know, fed and watered and so on, and this moving thing beneath them kept the place clean. It was very interesting. They got great marks from the whatever these animal rights.
They have those for cats now. These things that move the
cat litter.
For cat litter,
scrape it out and
Okay.
That's those for children,
but I don't have those.
Each
one has its own private television.
Right, that's right. Of wolves chasing them. Now, similarly, the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditch, writes that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, the Ribbono Shel Olam reveals his Malchus to Klal Yisrael. Meaning, this time, if we are interested in finding him, he's not going to hit us over the head. But if we're interested in looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is an opportune time to find him. Now, what are we supposed to do with that? Right? Once you meet God, what does it look like? What are we supposed to do with the meeting? So that's really the next step that I wanted to go to here. And that is, what's the focus? What's the goal? So there's a very, very interesting kind of a controversy about, okay, once you get the meeting. So, you know, last week we had this meeting here with the government. I forgot that. Mayor Barrett called me. I have to call him back. The mayor called me last week, left me a voicemail. I haven't called him back. It's not nice. So what does the meeting look like? Got a meeting coming Sunday with the master of the world, right? He's allowing us an audience in the field, not in the palace. The palace meeting is Rosh Hashanah.
Instead of calling Mary, because I was busy talking to God.
Right, I understand.
Right.
He's going to say, "What, you had an appointment with Hillary?" So, what is it supposed to look like? So, the B'nai Yisoscha writes that there are obviously two categories of bakasha, the two categories of relationship that we can relate to the king with. One of them is our physical needs, and the other one are our spiritual needs. What, if any, is there a difference between the month of Elul and the month of Tishrei with regard to these two flows of energy? So the B'nai Yisoscha writes as follows, that, and this is, again, just to frame, like, what's happening up there. Right, the B'nai Yisoscha, that Elul is the time
Rashi says,
yesterday. I can't remember who it was. Somebody told me this in the form of a mushel. My memory stinks. So he said that there was a, you know, throughout the ages, it happened in Spain, it happened in many different, but even among the Russian czars, there were Jewish advisors. People that these kings really liked. They were smart people. Jews generally are smart. Financial advisors. And then there was always the group who was jealous of the fact that the king had this special relationship with this Jew and so on. So they always prosecuted against these friends of the king. And the king decreed that there was going to be one day a year that he was going to allow his inner circle to come in and ask for whatever they want. And every single year, the enemies of the Jew would come into the king on that day and say, don't give it to him, he's not worthy, he's a thief, he's a crook, and so on. So the Jew finally figured it out, and instead of waiting for the day when the prosecutors are there, he would come a few days beforehand. So wherever I saw this said that that's what the month of Elul is. It's us understanding that when it comes Rosh Hashanah, when all of humanity is judged, there are prosecutors there. So the Jew is smarter. He comes, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and says, I'm starting now. I'm not waiting for the day that the prosecutors are there. So that when it comes to the prosecution, we've already got our relationship in there. Says the Bnei Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects Klal Yisrael from the prosecutors. Listen to what he does. These are very important words. Lahalois tfilosom. To bring our prayers into the gates of heaven without the prosecutors being present. And again, uses this critical word that we're going to see again and again. And he says the critical words. You can't argue with somebody who says, I just like somebody. I happen to like that person. What do you do with it? Favos. I don't know. I just happen to like them. What are you going to do? Some people have a certain chain. Some just you click with people. It's a rotzen. Chodesh El is called Yimei Rotzen between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Now, if that's the case, says the Yetiv Lev, we should not waste the month with our grocery lists of physical requests. He quotes the Tikkun HaZoher. It's a very harsh Tikkun HaZoher that nobody likes quoting, where he says that he condemns the demands of Klal Yisrael, referring to those requests as a bunch of dogs who are screaming, have, have, gimme, gimme, gimme. So he's not complimentary about the grocery list look. Says the Yetiv Panim, but there's a solution to this. And that is that if our requests for our physical needs are so that we can serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu properly. I really want to go. I want to spend several hours a day in the Kodesh. I want to be able to pay full tuition for my children's education. I want to be able to buy a nice Lulav and Esrog. I want to be able to have Shabbos and Yom Tov Yisadaf Tzizayin. To do so, I need to make $500,000 a year to do this properly. So, Rabbeinu Shalom, I want to be an Eved Hashem like I needs to be. Please make me CEO of the company so that I have people to do all the work that needs to get done and I can sit and learn. Baruch Hu Sadas. That is considered a spiritual request. It looks like a physical request, but it is a spiritual request. Now, you ready? Stricken, pay attention. Says Rebbe Herschel is in the Chayva, the Sabbath Hazoya, that Elul is Rosh Hatevis, Elyonim Lamata Vitachtoinim Lamaila. Remember the Gemara says that, I think it was Rebbe Shubin Levi, went up in his physical body, went upstairs, and he came back down, and they asked him for a report. So he said, what did you see? He said, I saw an upside down world. I saw Elyonim Lamata V'Tachtonim Lamata. I saw the ones on high. They were The people that stood up front were in the back, and the people that stood in the back were up front. Right? Somebody told me once that that's why you turn around by Bayi B'Shalom. Friday night, when we say Bayi B'Shalom, you turn to face the back. Why? Because Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is a glimpse of the world to come. And in the world to come, the people who are sitting up front, they're going to be in the back, and the people who sit in the back, they're going to be in front. So, Shabbos, you turn around to get a glimpse into what it's really going to look like. So he says that the request that we normally view as being beneath us, as being lowly and so on, they're going to be in the Milo. They're going to be on top. So the things that we normally view as being, really, Rosh Hashanah, you're asking for money? It depends what your money is made up of. It depends what you want to do with your money. Those requests can be the mata. You're not paying attention. Because if you were being paying attention, you would have asked a very blatant, obvious question.
About the money or what?
No. No. I'm not telling you. When you clap, you'll call me.
Okay.
Okay, about Al Yainim Lamata V'Tachtenim Lamayla being an acronym for Elul.
Oh, yeah, well, that I figured out.
Yeah, what?
That, what about the question?
Right. What's the question? El Yainim is spelled.
You want to say you spelled iron. Yeah.
Thank you.
But we can fudge that. We don't have a problem with that.
Okay, I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. Don't worry about it. It's a stricken kind of thing. So the Imre Nayim, just to conclude with this thought, the Imre Nayim writes that one thing we need to keep in mind is the concept of Ratzon. These are called, and again, throughout Kisvei Kodesh, these are called Yemei Ratzon, days of... Give me a good word for Ratzon.
We were talking about this before. Remember we were discussing...
How would you define Ratzon?
It's context.
Can't hear you.
Desire? Want?
Yes.
Thought. Days of intimacy.
Okay. But it's lemaylem and asecha. The point that he's trying to point out is that it's not subject to hard reason. It's days of love. It's days of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows favoritism to Klal Yisrael. You know, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that the nations of the world come to prosecute before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say to him, why are you favoring Klal Yisrael? You claim that you're above favoritism. Why are you favoring Klal Yisrael? So Hashem says, I'll give you a reason. I wrote in my Torah, V'yachalta v'savalta v'rachtos Hashem l'kecha. You should be satisfied and eat and you'll bless Hashem. Which means a kebeya, the size of a egg, and they go ahead and they bench even when they eat something the size of a kezayis, an olive. So how could I not favor them? Really? We would call that a bracha levatala. What kind of favoritism is that? Hashem says if you eat an egg size, you should bench. And you go ahead and say Hashem's name in vain after only eating a kezayis?
No, because we call the kezayis is like this.
Oh, Stricken is... This is his favorite, the Slifkin corruption, yes. So...
Distortion, I want to say.
So one of the Mefarshim says a half-a-liga thing. There's a halacha in Masechtas Kedushin that says, what happens? Generally, when you marry a woman, so the man needs to give the woman something, right? But if it's an Adam Chashuv, if it's a person of prominence, the woman can give the man a gift, and the very fact that the man is willing to accept the gift is considered a gift from the man to the woman.
I'll let my wife know about that.
Yes, you do that. See how far that gets you. So, what's the aside? The aside is that when you get something from somebody, it's not the value of the item itself. It's the fact that I have a relationship with this person, right? So I don't remember who says this, but somebody says on this Gemara, generally it takes an egg size to become full. But when you're getting it from the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you recognize that your kezayis is coming from the Creator, you're satisfied with the size of an olive. This isn't just any olive size of bread. It's coming from God. So Hashem says, I wrote in my Torah of Yachalta V'Savalta, you should eat it and be satisfied. But they're full already when they have a kezias because they're recognizing that it's coming from me. How can I not favor them? So this concept of Yemei Ratzon is, as he said before, it's an intimate time, meaning it's a time when we have much greater clarity about where, no puns intended, where our bread is buttered from, where it's all coming. When we have that intimacy, it becomes a two-way street. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to us, we need to feel the love and respond in kind by doing tshuva. So it's almost like